Virtually every other human unifying system includes factual realism as an important and even essential element, but subordinates it to practical realism when necessary. He doubts that the values of factual realism are adequate to support a unifying system, but believes that the values of practical realism can. Now, the actual history of science barely supports D.S. Wilson's contention that in science factual realism triumphs above all else. Eventually, truth prevails in science, but everything else seems to prevail first, sometimes for decades or centuries, as Thomas Kuhn notes. The state of Ptolemaic astronomy was a scandal before Copernicus' announcement. Galileo's contributions to the study of motion depended closely upon difficulties discovered in Aristotle's theory by scholastic critics. Newton's new theory of light and color originated in the discovery that none of the existing pre-paradigm theories would account for the length of the spectrum, and the wave theory that replaced Newton's was announced in the midst of growing concern about anomalies in the relation of diffraction and polarization effects to Newton's theory. Thermodynamics was born from the collision of two existing 19th century physical theories, and quantum mechanics from a variety of difficulties surrounding black body radiation, specific heats, and photoelectric effect. Furthermore, in all these cases except that of Newton, one can appropriately describe the fields affected by it as in a state of growing crisis. Science is not very different in this respect from government or religion. Often change occurs only when stoutly defended systems are collapsing from their own unworkability. But what D.S. Wilson means by science appears to be materialism, which he treats as factual realism. Since he has defined his terms that way, there is no arguing the case with him. But the main difficulty with his thesis is that mystics who found religions are in fact seeking factual realism. That is precisely their purpose. Based on their experiences, they tend to describe ultimate reality as suprarational, not as subrational. Where the materialist sees the universe as bottom-up, mud to mind or monad to man, they see it as top-down, mind to mind-matter. They do not abandon reason, but they find that conventional argument falls short of conveying mystical consciousness, much as they might wish otherwise. As we have seen in Chapter 6, materialists have no conclusive evidence that they are right and mystics are wrong.
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.